kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
With false peace. The sword deals with false peace. And we're going to base this from Matthew 10 and verses 34 to 39. Matthew 10, 34 to 39. We're calling this "The Sword Deals with False Peace." And when we read this, we're going to see why the Lord has to help us to not deceive ourselves. We are in many ways our own worst enemy in deceiving ourselves. And he says this: "Do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whom he loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Now, these, of course, are one of the most challenging words that our Lord gives to those who wish to follow him. And this sadly is why there are few that actually follow the Lord or preach it as it is given. And so we can't escape what is written here. Jesus has said this, but like all things, we have to allow the Holy Spirit in which to show us and teach us. And this, of course, is why we're calling this today "The Sword Deals with False Peace." Because he says, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." So this is very interesting, because Jesus, although he was to come and establish his kingdom, and we know that they rejected their Messiah, who of course is the Prince of Peace, we notice that at present, until Jesus comes to establish his kingdom upon the earth, the peace that he is giving is not what the world is looking for. And of course, this is why the Antichrist will come with a false peace. And this is what God is protecting us from. He's protecting us from a peace that we so easily can be deceived by. And he shows us where this peace can be attacked. This peace that we receive through Christ in reconciliation. He says you've got enemies that will try to attack that peace that we have between us in fellowship. And he says it will come from your family. It can come from your son, your daughter. It can come from your husband, your wife. It can come from those in the household. This is where peace will be attacked. And the only way that God can deliver us and help us is to present the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That is the only spiritual weapon that will help us and deal with what otherwise we will compromise on. We all compromise on this issue. We still at times give in to family, to those closest to us, because we have not yet learnt the value that we have through the new birth, through being reconciled with Christ, that we are now at peace in our fellowship with God. And these are some of the hindrances that will try and break that peace. Because this peace that we have with God is absolutely essential for our relationship, our walk of faith, and walking each day, triumphing, overcoming, and the devil and the powers of darkness. We tend to forget this. And this, of course, is why in many, many ways it's a radical saying, what our Lord says here. Many in the world would regard this as very cultish, very radical, very extreme. There's something that's not normal about what is said here. And we can still hold to that attitude. But God isn't worried about what man thinks, whether it's etiquette or whether it's politically right or whatever. He's not interested in any of those things. He says, I come with a sword and I'm going to show you what that sword will do. Because we know that there is a false peace that is coming upon the world. And this is the opposite peace. Now, this peace in the Greek is a word called eirene. And it means to have harmony. It's also a meaning of safety. So we have harmony, we have also safety. And this is where, of course, we get the word salvation, to be brought together, where you were enemies of God, you now are united in peace, in harmony, in fellowship. And that is what this word peace means. And the Antichrist is going to come and he's going to counterfeit this peace that we have with God. And he's going to do this, particularly the aim is with Israel, God's people. And if we turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you know this very well. But here is something that is interesting. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, verses 1 to 5, which speaks of the day of the Lord. He says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So because you have in the world those who reject this true peace that can only come through reconciliation with Jesus Christ, God is going to allow a delusion. They is going to allow the world who rejects him to be deceived with a false peace. He gives permission to the Antichrist to deceive the world and Israel by making peace, because they are looking into the world. They want the peace that the world can give. And God says, I'm not going to give you that peace. And there's a reason why he doesn't give us that peace that the world looks for and fights for and so on. Because we know all our political leaders are all trying to pronounce peace and so on, because that's how they get elected. But he says, I'm delivering you from that deception. And the only way I do that, I come with a sword, which would outwardly seem completely contrary to what we're talking about with regard to peace. Why? Because he's dealing spiritually. He is dealing with the heart. And we know that the heart has to be worked upon, has to be circumcised. That is what it means. And to work on the hard heart, it requires the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Again, we go back to the Word being sown into the heart. For faith comes by hearing this Word, which is really the sword of the Spirit. You see, the sword will always expose that wrong peace. And that is, in many ways, our deliverance. We still, at times, run to the arm of the flesh for that false peace. And have you noticed that when you put your trust in the arm of the flesh, when you start to put too much trust in your husband, your wife, or your son, or your daughter, or your family, or whoever it would be, it begins to turn on you. You no longer have that peace that God gives, that faith needs in which to act and believe. You don't get it. It's now become a false peace. You now have become vulnerable and open to the peace that the world is pursuing for. The one world and everything and the Antichrist, what he will bring. You won't be able to discern between the world or the Antichrist peace and the peace that God gives. That is why we have to allow the sword, the sharpness of the sword, to continue to do that work. This is why we preach the deeper life in the Spirit. That is what this is about. So that we can keep close accounts, that we are not going to be deceived, which we've just read to you in 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 1 to 5. The sword is to deal with sin and unbelief that is in us. And that is why God at times will be firm. He'll be tender, but he will be firm, because he's dealing with the areas we don't wish to surrender. He's dealing with areas that we don't want the sword to divide, and we hide behind it. And a lot of our hiding is exactly what Jesus said back in Matthew 10:34. We hide behind the family. That is often where we hide. That is why Jesus brings it up. This is where he presents the sword. And the next thing we see in verse 35, it goes straight to the family. Because the family minister a false peace to us. As much as we love them, but it is not a peace that will save you. And he makes it absolutely clear. He goes to where our biggest hindrances lie, where we compromise, where we at times allow ourselves to be deceived, because we can't let the sword do that work. And so God has to do that work within the heart, and a lot of that work is idolatry. We're idolatrous. And that's why we say, keep coming, keep listening. Those that endure to the end will be saved, because God will do that heart surgery that only he and he alone can do through the sword of the Spirit. You see, we have to be careful not to allow our emotions, when maybe we're praying for a brother or a sister whom God is dealing with, particularly with sin, unbelief, or idolatry in their lives. We very easily can interfere with what God is trying to do. God is dealing with them with his sword. And what we're trying to do is, Lord, put that sword away. That is causing grief to my brother or my sister. I don't like what I see. It emotionally upsets me. And we have to be on our guard with that, because that will hinder our prayers, praying for our brothers and sisters, that they will be effectively delivered. We are emotional people. And we have to, that's why we have to seek the Lord when we start to pray, particularly for a brother or sister who may be going through a trial. Lord, how do I pray in this? Show me how to pray, so that I don't get my mind, my emotions in the way, because in the natural, I don't like what's happening here. It's painful. And when you seek God like that, then you begin to realize God's using his sword, the sword of the Spirit. He's going deep. And when you begin to understand that and see what God's doing, then your prayers and supplications become effective for your brothers and sisters. It's not just praying one for another. At times that's too easy. God requires us sometimes to seek him. What are you saying, Lord? Show me how to pray in this. That's what the Holy Spirit has come for, to teach us and lead us and guide us. And that's why, you see, if you're not touching God in prayer, if you're not hearing from God in prayer, it's because you're hiding something. You're stopping the sword of the Spirit doing that work in my life, dividing, cutting away those idolatrous areas still within me. Because if you don't deal with that, you will start to find hostility and resentment towards the Word. And that is always what happens when saints are hiding something, or they are resisting the sword of the Spirit. If they don't deal with that, you will still begin to see a hostility, a criticizing of the Word or the minister and whatever. And we've had our fair share of that over the years, sadly, in this assembly, where those are no longer around anymore, because they were criticizing the Word. What really was happening is they were hiding something. They were resisting the sword of the Spirit to do that work, you see, because they were seeking a false peace. It's not the true peace that comes in fellowship with you and the Lord, you see. And that is why we look for a substitute through our family, through our closest ones, instead of first drawing our fellowship, our peace, our relationship with the Lord first, you see. You see, there are also those that can't stand something that pierces right through the heart of the problem. There are some who just can't take it. They say, it's too deep. I can't let God deal with this. I can't even deal with it myself. And there are some who are like that. Well, if God can't deal with it, then nobody can. And it's no good running to a psychiatrist. They certainly can't. You have to face facts. You have to face and settle it that God has this sword and he's going to use it on me. This is a sign he loves me and he's going to save me and protect me from myself, who often is my worst enemy. But those who endure, those who stay with it, those who keep coming, are those who said before the Lord, do whatever it takes, because they're honest before him. I know it's going to hurt, but I know you will be tender, you will be merciful with me. You won't hurt me, you won't let me be destroyed. And that is the love of God, even when he chastens us, and he does as a father. And that is why the Lord deals with us where we are until we see our need. And when we see our need, what do? Then we replace it with the Lord. And that is the difference. When you finally see your need, that's been revealed by the sword of the Spirit, then you will see the Lord is the one who replaces that area. That is why it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, a sense of need has to be created first. And what does that? The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. That is why faith comes by hearing the word. It creates first the need for the word to be planted from the head to the heart. And sometimes to get it from the head to the heart, it requires the sword of the Spirit. And the word of God that you hear creates that need, creates that hunger, creates the revelation, the understanding of what needs doing in my life to conform me to the will of God. That's why this word is supernatural. That is why God has got us under the anointing, the unction of the Spirit in which to do that. There are a lot of people who sit under teachings, but there's not the sword that is attached to it, because it's not anointed, you see. And that is why the Holy Spirit comes to teach us, as Jesus said he would come. He's come back, if you like, with that sword. This spiritual sword, because it's the only thing that can deal with this. And that is why, sadly, you don't get many who preach on these bits of parts of what Jesus revealed here, because they know They empty churches. People don't want to hear it. But you see, if we love the Lord, then we're going to stay with the good bits and the bits that seem bad or hard. But there is a reason for it. And that is why the Holy Spirit keeps us with his word, the unction, the anointing. You see, this false peace that we have spoken about in 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 1 to 5 cannot make you holy and right before God. And that is the problem of the world. They are seeking this false peace, which the Antichrist will come deceiving, but this false peace can never make you right before God. Only the peace that Jesus Christ gives through the new birth. And this peace is experienced by the sword of the Spirit. You see, it's so interesting that the world believes that they can be moral and happy without Jesus. Even politics promises you all that. And sometimes in the world, some people can appear to be more moral than Christians. But it's a false peace. They think they can be happy and fulfilled, but you can't without the Lord. You see, that's the problem. And that is why Jesus came with a sword to deal with this false peace that's not based on him. Nothing that is based on him, if it's not based on him, it is false. It is a counterfeit peace. And that is why we've got to stay with the sword. And let that sword wield and do its work in our lives and hearts. Because love always presents the truth. What does it say in John 14? John 14, verse 26 and 27. John 14, 26, 27. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we see a connection with this peace that he gives, and he refers to let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So fear is dealt with by God's peace. His peace will deal with that fear that can torment and cause us to compromise otherwise. Or your heart's being troubled by anxiety, frustration, and those things the enemy tries to work in the mind. That's what he's saying. This peace I leave with you. And he says, I'm coming back to minister those things, to teach this peace, that you can experience this. Not as the world gives. You see, this peace, what God gives, gives eternity. It's an eternal peace that will never end. It will always be throughout eternity, unlike the world. They're pursuing a false peace, but they will not have peace when they go to hell. And that is the tragedy of it all. And that is why this peace is to rule, and it's to rule in our hearts 24/7. For example, what is it saying in Colossians? In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, And, wait a minute, where's Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So there you are. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And the only way that is going to rule, be master, in other words, in your heart, is you don't resist this sword. And it's a sword that produces this through the word of God that divides. And he says, you were called to this. So there we are. God's got a remnant that he calls from the foundation of the world, that they will experience this peace, his peace, praise God, in one body, and be thankful. So we are in the body, in the assembly, all of us to experience this peace that makes peace. And where there is peace, there is fellowship. There is harmony, there is unity, there is oneness, there is agreement. We are all moving in the right direction. But if there's not peace in an assembly, you cannot have fellowship. It cannot last. And the only way that it will ever maintain in a body is when the sword of the Spirit is allowed to do its work, and not compromising on the word of God, as so many ministers do. They compromise. And why do they compromise? Because they themselves do not really experience this true peace. They are themselves resisting those deep areas where they don't want the sword to do its work. The only way you will know the sword does its work is when you truly, from the head to the heart, understand that you are utterly, completely naked before God. Utterly exposed. I'm talking of the heart. Because the Bible shows us that we do not know our hearts. There's only one who knows the heart, and it is God. And the only thing that can deal with that is the sword of the Spirit. And that is why the sword divides. Let it divide. Don't fight it. Don't hinder that sword. It's got to do its work if you continue to maintain that peace. And don't be surprised where the sword will work. And it will certainly work those whom you are close to, in your environment, where you want that peace, that harmony, that false harmony and peace that you've allowed to be created. He says that sword is going to come down and separate that, because that will not give you eternal life. Your family, as much as you love them, will not give you eternal life. And if you truly have allowed the sword of the Spirit to do that work, then you can pray confidently in faith for their salvation, and that they too will make it into the kingdom of heaven. But if you have compromise in this area, you cannot guarantee they will make it into the kingdom of God. So if you truly love them, you will let that sword do its work. Now, I believe that's come by the Spirit, because I've never thought of that like that. But God knows. So there we are. The sword deals with false peace. Let the peace of God rule in our hearts, because that is where our faith, our walk, our security, our all to make it in is. And God loves us, And that's why he speaks to us sometimes in the way that he does, firmly, because he loves us. And any father, true father, who loves his son or daughter will not at times compromise. Well, there we are, praise God. The sword deals with false peace. The Lord is faithful, he loves us, and by his grace and mercy, we will make it in. Hallelujah.
Let him in constancy follow.